you gotta spit your gum out. Mm-mm. It's no, it's like crackling in the mic. It's disgusting.
Once you get talking, no one will notice it.
Okay. Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, everybody. Shannon.
Do you notice that I did not say tour edition?
It's post-tour edition.
It's because we're home. We're sitting in our living room right now.
That's wild.
It's pretty awesome.
It's also not tour wrap-up edition.
No, it's not.
We might do that.
We actually have one more show.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an outlier. It's like it's in like a week and a half.
It's like a satellite show orbiting the rest of the tour.
Yeah. So we're not really quite done, but we're done. It's this weird limbo purgatory.
Yeah. It's tour and not tour. It's Schrodinger's tour.
It's Schrodinger's tour.
Are we on tour?
Yeah.
No one knows.
No, we're not. We're home. We're in our living room right now.
But yet we have more shows.
And welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hi, everyone. Nice to see you. I've got a cough. Pardon me. I'd like to welcome our new listeners.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think we have a bunch of new listeners this week, actually. I've been looking at our statistics, and we had like a almost 100-person spike last week.
What?
Yeah. Not sure why. Last week's episode was really good.
Here's a little secret. I don't trust these dang statistics. I think that it's just like computers gone wild.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think that it means anything at all.
I love it.
So, yay, statistics.
I like it. For someone with a science degree, you don't trust science very much.
It doesn't make any sense to me, so I don't believe it.
I think the way it works is every time someone listens, the computer adds one. And then at the end of the week, it sends me that number.
Yeah, I don't trust it.
Love
fake
it.
News.
Well, hey, it's entirely possible then that no one's listening to this. And if so, I mean, what really is the point of anything?
That sounds more accurate.
But just assuming that maybe someone is listening to the sound of my voice right now
yours,
and probably assuming even further that maybe one of those people is someone who has never listened before.
Yeah.
Welcome to you, new listener.
I'm sure that's happening. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like at least one.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. If the statistics are inaccurate, wouldn't you imagine that week to week they're inaccurate in sort of the same way?
I don't know.
So you could at least infer trends, right?
I guess I don't care. I know you're a numbers guy, and I'm like, okay, numbers, schmumbers, let's just do the podcast.
Yeah, okay, cool, cool. Cool statistics talk. Yeah, great. So, great. Well, new listeners, hey, thanks for being here. It's entirely possible that this is maybe one of the last batch of people who picked up a glossy Misfit Stars postcard at our table. And if you're one of those people, thanks for taking a chance on listening to us. It's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
And hey, new supporters. We had a couple of new supporters this week. And you know what, people? That's really cool. Because this is a listener-supported podcast. What that means is that we make most of it largely free to the public because we want you to listen to it. And we hope that you enjoy it. And maybe it adds a little bit of value to your life. But also, it's a way that you can support what we do in the world. And we want to structure it like that. So, you know, hence the most of it being free. And also, hence this idea that you can, if you want to, support us a little bit more and use this podcast as sort of a vehicle for doing that. You can do that. You can go to misfitstars.com/join.
Mm-hmm.
You can just sign up. It's inexpensive. Basically, if you have $5 a month and you're like, I would like Shannon and Jamie to have those $5 because I think they would do good things with them. Well, thank you. And it's super easy to do. And we would love that.
Or maybe the question is, I listen to this podcast and I enjoy it. And it brings, you know, some joy into my life or some thoughtfulness into my life or something like that. And you're like, hey, yeah, I want to make sure, I want to be part of the group of people who is making sure that this podcast continues and can be sustained over the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe if the answer to that question is yes for you, then maybe you want to become a member.
That would be so cool.
It would.
Thank you for doing that.
And those of you who have already said yes to that question and have gone to misfitstars.com/join
big
and
deal.
Joined us.
Big deal.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You make this thing possible. You keep it going, you keep us going, and we appreciate you very much. Stars.
And we also appreciate then your subsequent additions to our Misfit Stars private Facebook group. Because when you become a supporting member of Misfit Stars, we also will send you an invite to that secret Facebook group. And if you accept that invite, then you're in like our super secret little club. And that's where we have like super secret private conversations. which is really cool. It's like
Secret sounds like dubious. It's a private group.
Yeah.
It's a comfortable
I'm serious about that though. Seriously, like it's secret in that like it's not just out there for everyone to see on Facebook, right? It's like this private thing where we can talk in a safer way, in a more vulnerable way with like a group of people who we know aren't going to be jerks.
Right.
Which is something you can't always say on Facebook in general.
No, you cannot.
Yeah.
You cannot say that about it in general.
No.
So please come join us.
That'd be great.
Become a star. You go to misfitstars.com/join and do the thing.
We will call you a star and everything. Yeah. Oh, I'm fiddling with something. Sorry about that. Yeah. I have this little case for the little SD card that the podcast gets recorded onto. I'm just sitting here snapping it open and closed. Shannon's like, I'm going to kill you. Other things Shannon's considered killing me for already in the podcast or slightly before the podcast include my chewing gum, the potential of me drinking water on the microphone. I'm causing noise issues, aren't I? It's a noise issue podcast today.
Today it is, sure.
Yeah.
It is.
Fair enough.
As you bonk your microphone.
I just bonk. Oh, wait. It's because it's kind of magnetized, so it kind of goes, doing, doing, doing. Listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you guys hear that? Anyway.
This is riveting content.
I bet our people are like, this is gold.
Oh, my God.
Our people are like, this is the lift I needed for my morning.
Our people are like, these people should turn off the recording device and go take a nap.
I think they got hit in the head when they were on tour.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Moving right along, but not too far along. I do want to say, and I've been forgetting to say this for like months, but here's the deal. I'm going to try to get better about saying this every week. If you love this podcast, please take a moment to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher or just wherever you listen to this podcast. It would help us because the way it would help us is that if we get better reviews, then those podcast platforms sort of move our thing up and will sometimes just suggest it. Stitcher is, for example, a suggestion-based podcast platform. Like once you create an account there, it'll just suggest things that you might like.
Mm.
Imagine if Misfit Stars got suggested to people who care about the same kind of things you care about.
What? That'd be so cool.
Right? So do that. Thank you.
And review. Thank you so much for that.
Rate and review. And subscribe. Subscribe. Do the whole thing.
That too. Yeah.
Rate, review, subscribe. Mm-hmm, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So after the break today, we're going to talk about this sort of like brainstorm idea I had last night. Sometimes there are multiple events or things you read over the course of a few days that all kind of like have a thread of connection to each other.
Things
like,
just randomly intertwined in the universe.
Yeah. And that happened for me with a couple different things over the last few days on the topic of, or the idea of who belongs here.
Love it.
And so we're going to get into that after the break.
Great.
Yeah.
Can't wait. It's going to be a good topic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this last week, so we finished up the main part of our tour minus this one strange outlier show that we're going to have, which is not strange. It's going to be awesome. We were in Edmonds.
We did. We slept in our own bed.
Yeah.
After we got back from the Oregon shows last week. Mm-hmm. And then we drove up to Edmonds, which is north of Seattle, for a concert with our friend Teresa, who's hosted a number of shows now.
Yeah. This is like her third or fourth show? Fourth?
I think it's her third.
Third.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
We've known her for
a long time.
Yeah.
And she's been a supporter of ours for many years now.
Yeah.
And we've gotten to know her over the course of those years, and she's just lovely. And she's currently living in this house. Actually, she's about to sell her house. So this is the last hurrah for this house of hers.
Yeah.
Which is perched on this bluff above the Puget Sound.
It's stunning.
Edmonds, and it looks out onto the main strait in the Sound where like the ocean faring vessels come in from Canada and the United States, and it comes down this strait into the Puget Sound. She looks right up into that strait that leads up to the Strait of Juan de Fuca.
But it's cool. It's kind of where it sort of bifurcates. So the strait kind of goes up to the left there, and then there's these other islandy things sort of toward the right. So there's all these little interior views. It's really amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And the view there, like because it's the main strait, it is so vast. Like it feels it feels like you're at the edge of the world. Like it's really.
But like you can see stuff on the other side also.
Yes, but it's so high up, and the body of water is so big. It kind of takes my breath away when we're up there, you know? And
it is very abrupt.
But even so, even though, and we were outside, it was the last like warmish enough evening to be outside in this area.
It was a very interesting night because it like the day into the night didn't really change at all. It was like 61 degrees kind of the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
With no wind, it just stayed that way. It was very cool.
To be way up on this bluff in the, you know, on top of the world, and the air was so still that night. Like, when low volume moments in the show happen, you know, where we bring it down real quiet.
Yeah.
The air was completely still. Like, it was, we might as well have been indoors. It was really bizarre and awesome.
It was really nifty. Yeah.
It was a magical night.
And then everything would get real quiet and the dynamics would come way down. And then a train would go.
Oh, that's true. There is a train that the route is right at the bottom of that bluff, like right along the water,
winding along the shore, magically, beautifully.
Totally, but also the train coming out of nowhere was also awesome.
Oh, it's the best.
Like, it was really cool.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, and you know, even though we had only spent one night in our own bed the night before that show, we decided to stay up there in Edmonds with Teresa that night.
Yeah.
Which was such a great idea.
That was the best.
Because we ended up staying up very late, talking with her in a way that we hadn't really gotten to do before, and that was just so much fun.
And that's indeed why we did it. We were like, let's do a sleepover with Teresa and really get deep.
It was fun.
Because we just know from our experience that, like, when we show up at the house concerts, you know, everyone's a little, you know, anticipatory. There's about to be an event. Everyone's got stuff to do, you know, a little nervous energy, very excited. And after the last guest has gone, then we can all kind of go, and just everything changes.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have that time with Teresa, and I'm so glad we did. It was magical.
It was really great.
Got to know her. She's cool.
Yeah, she's
awesome.
Just
a neat, neat human being.
You know, and she's on the edge of a lot of things in her life right now.
Yeah.
You know, as a lot of people are all the time, right?
Sure.
And like, even, you know, I really felt like there was this like really lovely metaphor about sort of like where she and where a lot of people are in their lives in terms of being on the edge of something, and also like the physical place where we were sort of feeling on the edge, on this precipice.
Oh, Shannon.
Hey, don't get all weird on me.
No, I like it.
Yeah, but
it's
like,
good.
But you know, like even when you're on the edge like that, there are moments of like utter peace. You know, there can be, if we take the time to do it. You know, like. You're laughing at me right now.
I am not.
I don't appreciate that.
I am smiling at you
encouragingly. I can tell. I can tell the look on your face.
Shanna's paranoid today, you guys.
I'm not paranoid.
I'm not paranoid. You're paranoid.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, it was a lovely night. It was
a
moment of peace and a moment of stillness in, you know, I mean, we're on the edge of some things, too, right now, right? Like, being at the end of tour, we're going to talk about this in a minute, you know, that... Like being at the end of tour is a transition. Like, it's on the edge of a bit of unknown in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
We're going to get to that in a minute, though. So anyway, it was a good night. And then the following night, two nights later,
the following day, we did epic house cleaning.
We did.
Which was such a good move.
You loved it.
Oh, I love it now. I liked it fine in the moment. It was hard, but it was good to do. But like now we just have a totally clean house, which is such a great way to start this transitional period, because it feels like, because, you know, in years past, maybe we haven't had the energy, haven't been able to do it. So we've been kind of living in summer dust for a while and cleaning incrementally. And like,
right.
This just feels like a fresh start.
Yeah,
it's nice in that way.
It's really nice, yes.
Yeah.
But so two nights later, we went to Seattle and did a show with our friends Kayla and Chris. And it was a beautiful night. They live in a condo apartment complex kind of thing.
Yeah.
And their apartment itself is way too small to have a house concert.
Yeah, yeah.
But the benefit of some of these kinds of buildings is that they have some common space. And so like the rooftop area, I know that they hoped that we were going to be able to be outside that night, but it was pouring down rain. So we had to be inside. The room inside was beautiful though. So
it's so great. Yeah. It's the coolest hangout area.
Yeah.
It's a really neat idea in buildings like this, right? Like everyone's personal space is smaller. Like they take for every apartment all of the common space kind of out of it, you know? And just they put that up on the top floor in this massive space where, like, you know, during the week, there's sometimes, they were saying, like, you know, 20, 30, 40 people up there.
Oh, neat.
Just everyone hanging out, doing their own thing. There's a ton of seating. There's little games. There's shufflepuck. There's chess, you know?
That's cool.
There's a TV if you want to watch a game or something like that. And then, you know, there's just all these nooks and places you can sit. There's a half of it that sort of looks like, almost like a coffee shop with, like, booths, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's, like, a bar where there's beer on tap for free for all the residents always.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The building is, like, partnered with some brewery in some way.
Oh.
And the deal, you can't fill a growler and take it downstairs. If you want to have a beer, you can only consume it up in that room.
Right.
Which encourages people up to that room,
that's
which is
great.
Really nifty. And apparently it's a real social kind of place.
That's neat.
And it's a great way to get people to meet one another in a building
yeah.
like that, where it might otherwise be quite isolating, mm-hmm. and to build community. There's like just a lot of good about that, you know?
Definitely.
And I also like the idea of like not like having to hoard personal space, you know? Like what if we aggregate our common space?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Although I do also value being able to be by myself. Like last night when you left for a couple hours to see a friend and I was by myself in our living room, it was glorious.
It was probably the first time
I love you and I love being with you.
Oh, yeah.
But, oh,
so
my gosh.
So sick of each other, though. Oh, my gosh. That was probably the longest you and I have not been in the same, like, I don't know, 50 square feet in 3.5 months.
I know. Seriously. Yeah. Could you go visit your friend again tonight?
Maybe. Could ask. Toby, here's the deal.
Can I come over? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so Kayla and Chris's show was really lovely. They made the most beautiful charcuterie spread on the bar of that space.
Holy cow.
It was just like astoundingly gorgeous and bountiful.
Yes, it was. It was the kind of thing where there were like, I don't know, 7 different kinds of nuts.
It was
some
awesome.
Of which Kayla had spiced herself because she's apparently a kitchen genius.
She's, yeah, clearly.
She's one of these people, one of these really annoying people who's just super competent in every single thing she does. Like she had made these beautiful, like physical invitations for the event.
Gorgeous.
Like printed invitations that she just printed at home somehow and made look beautiful. She designed them herself. She did a great job. She did the typography herself. Did a great job. Made the envelopes and the packaging. Did an amazing job. And like cooked all this food. She cooked like, I don't know, 25 different things.
It was beautiful.
It was stunning.
It was, like,
it was all good too.
Over the top great.
Yeah. And the way she laid it out, by the way, she found this out on Pinterest, and I just want to pass it on in case anyone's listening is like, holy cow, as I was holy cow. They covered the bar thing with saran wrap and put all of the stuff right on the saran wrap. So like, there were no serving plates.
There was no plates or anything like that. Yeah.
It was just all spilling over like a still life.
It was
from
so cool.
One thing to the next thing. It was bountiful.
It was
beautiful
awesome.
And great.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
But that was a beautiful night, and I enjoyed myself so much getting to do this with Kayla.
Yeah.
The very next day, we're supposed to drive to BC for the last show of this main part of our tour, besides this one outlier in a week or so.
And indeed, we set out to do this
thing. We left our house. We started driving. And British Columbia, we were supposed to be in the eastern part of British Columbia. The town we were supposed to go to was called Nelson.
It's like four and a half hours due north of Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, so eastern Washington and then go due north for
yeah,
a few
like,
hours.
Go like 2.5 hours up to the border and then another hour and a half
yes.
north from that. It's up there.
It is way up there.
Yeah.
And so we set out and, you know, we had heard that maybe there was going to be a storm coming through that day. We're like, oh, okay. Well, we'll check the weather on the way.
Because you know how it is. Like they show the blue blob on the map, but like it could be like, oh, it's flurries and everything's totally fine. Or it could be, whoa, this could be a real problem.
Yeah.
It was the latter.
It was a real problem. So it's the first full weekend of fall, and it was what they were calling an historic snowstorm in Washington State.
Yeah, and Idaho and Montana and Colorado and Utah. It was wild. Like parts of Montana got 4 feet.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, we
like
drove,
your dad's probably snowed in.
Probably so. So we drove to a town called Sprague in eastern Washington. Yeah. At which point there was snow on the highway and we're like, we should probably evaluate this a little bit more. And we opened up all of our weather apps and forecasting apps and decided that, oh my gosh, this area was going to probably really be in for it. And we probably could not safely get all the way to British Columbia for our show.
So
we had to make this heartbreaking phone call to our host, Denise.
Yep.
And let her know the situation. The really stupid part, well, there's lots of stupid parts, but one of the really stupid parts is that apparently where she was at, up north in British Columbia, they had just gotten a light dusting of snow.
It didn't go that far up.
Things were looking pretty good there. It was all south of there that was just a total wreck.
Wreck.
And so, yeah.
Totally
anyway,
wild. So we drove 260 miles out, turned around, drove 260 miles back. We had a 520-mile trip that started and ended at our house.
But on the plus side, we got to see the Snoqualmie Pass in beautiful fall color.
It was real cool.
On our way out there. It was gorgeous.
Just starting to do the colors. Lots of transitional color changes.
Yeah.
Really nice. Lots of cool little mini clouds hugging the sides of the mountain.
Really beautiful.
Very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And
got to see it twice, in fact.
Well, once was in the dark. So yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
But yes, what a day. And I'm glad we made the decision we did, because the next day we woke up to reports of there having been up to 20 inches of snow in some parts of eastern Washington.
Yeah.
That's probably some higher elevation than when we would have been, but still, like Spokane, where we would have maybe spent the night. Got a bunch of snow and was in a freeze warning
yeah,
that morning.
Terrible.
So we made the right call. It was really hard to do that. I'm not sure we've ever had to cancel. I don't think we've ever had to cancel a house concert before.
I'm not convinced we have.
In advance like that for a reason like that. It's the first. Anyway, it was tough and sad. The other
it's hard to do.
Upside bonus is that we got a couple of extra days on our break.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I would have rather done the show, but still, we got to start our break a little early too, which I guess, you know, in the end, yay.
Seriously. Not like we didn't need it.
Right.
Yeah. So transitioning from tour.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's what we're doing
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
So for those of you who have never been on tour, just imagine for a minute packing up a suitcase and getting in your car and leaving your house for 3.5 months and you're on a schedule every day. You've got things to do. Boom, boom, boom.
Lots of stimulation, meeting new people every single day. Mm-hmm. Yep. Lots of activity, lots of stimulation.
Yeah.
Lots of being the center of attention.
Oh, right.
For better and for worse.
Right. And then you arrive home and all of that stops on a dime.
Just immediately.
Just stops.
I like an ending tour to driving a car into a wall. Like, it's one way to stop the car.
So the first few years that we did this the scope of this kind of tour, I don't think we realized what an emotional, like, abrupt change coming home from tour actually was. Like, I think we didn't catch on for a few years that, like, oh, coming home from tour, it can be a potentially fraught thing, like, psychologically and emotionally.
Yeah.
Physically and all that kind of stuff.
I knew this from all the touring I had done, you know, because I had been touring for a living for years.
It's true, but you were maybe never gone for 3.5 months straight. You'd be gone for like a month.
Month or two,
maybe
usually.
Maybe two.
Yeah. It's true. It's really true.
And I don't think that we really realized for the first few years what a kind of, you know, difficult transition that could be.
Yeah.
But we are aware of it now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's not difficult still, but at least we know
it's a difficult thing that we're aware of, and that's progress.
Yeah. So how are you feeling in your transition?
You know, better, I think, than in some previous years. I'm hyper aware of this, you know, like you were just talking about, like, I'm very aware that it's a thing, and it's a thing that I need to sort of be proactive about, just in terms of having it at the forefront of my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I definitely tend to feel anxious when tour ends, just because, like, all of a sudden there's that yawning void where there was all that stuff before, you know?
All that structure
and all that stimulation, all that attention and all that, you know, all that emotional, empathic excitement and energy, you know? Like, what you and I do is an energetic exchange with a bunch of people every single day, and, like, that really fills you up. Like, there's just a lot of energy moving around, you know? And we're kind of just surrounded by that every day. And it's thrilling and it's wonderful. And then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel all of the time like there's something I'm forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels.
Interesting.
Like, you know, the feeling of like, shit, there's something I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that.
Yeah.
I'm also, you know, I can intellectually recognize that that's not actually the case. And what I should be doing right now probably is not very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I struggle with doing that. Well,
yeah,
you know, my tendency is just to get into little projects and do things, and, you know, I mean, it's hard too because, like, we've been away from our adorable little house, and there's projects that we could do, and so, of course, there's this weird, it's this weird dichotomy of I've been excited to do these projects all summer and looking forward to doing them, but now that we're here, the idea of doing them stresses me out. But I also feel like they need to get done. So now it's like a chore, you know? And like these exciting, fun things that we could do have now turned into these chores that I am not doing, you know? Because again, I probably should be relaxing. I don't know, it's just all complicated. It's really hard to tease it all apart, you know? And really, it's just time is going to do its thing. And 2 weeks from now, I'll feel better about things than I do right now.
Yeah, probably so.
But like, you know, you asked, that's where I'm at right now. How about you?
Yeah. You know, honestly, I feel aside from like, probably being a little bit more on edge in terms of like getting easily annoyed about stuff, you know?
Besides
that, I actually feel pretty good. Like,
good.
I think the easily annoyed thing is just a signal that maybe I actually just do need some time by myself, mm-hmm. you know, that I haven't had like a little bit of space. Yeah. It is nice.
Yeah. Being together all the time with a bunch of structure is easier than being together all the time without a bunch of structure.
Right. Right. And I think that, you know, it's okay to acknowledge that like your process and my process are different in coming home. Like I actually feel, I feel okay mostly about being home. And so, you know, I can't change for you what your experience is. You know, I realize that. And so for me,
do you feel like you need to?
No, I don't.
Or
make it better for you. You know, like because you just described that you're feeling a little anxious all the time, right? I wish that I could help you not be that way or not, you know, not feel that way.
Thanks.
But I can't, right? Like that's yours to deal with. So I think for me, actually part of my transition and being conscious about some stuff has been like to acknowledge that your anxiety is yours and that I don't have to take it on board, you know, because like my tendency is to just, you know, absorb other people's feelings, you know? And so that's been probably my biggest transition is to sort of like, or my biggest challenge in the transition is to like, let you do your process and allow myself to feel okay at the same time, you know, like, cause I generally do feel all right. Like, I think that I understand that I need some stillness, you know? So I've been doing some reading of some books the last couple nights and, you know, I've not looked at my inbox for a few days, which, you know, on the one hand, there's this little voice on my shoulder saying, you should probably check your inbox, you know, but also like, it's all right for me to take a couple days and not do that. That is an okay thing for me to do as a human who's, you know, trying to stay on top of meeting her emotional and psychological needs right now. So just allowing myself a little bit of a break has been really good.
That's great.
Yeah.
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 Right on.
So transition. Woo.
Woo.
Yay.
conditional woo.
I love being home. I'm
so excited
to
be here.
Absolutely thrilled to be here.
Been reintegrating ourselves tentatively back into our little community. We have seen two friends so far.
Yeah.
I've seen two friends. I've
seen one friend. Yeah.
I saw two.
Yes. I look forward to seeing the rest of them.
Can't wait.
The coming days.
Yeah. Can't wait, but need to wait.
Yeah. Also can't take it all on at one time.
I messaged a friend yesterday who lives locally. Hi, Katie. And I was like, so excited to see your face in like a couple weeks.
We just need a little time.
Totally.
Yeah. So the other thing that's been going on this last week is we started an impromptu fundraiser for a music computer for the Unhoused Youth Center that we played at last week.
Our people
stepped
up.
And that's been going like gangbusters, right?
Yeah, it's done. Like I told people I was going to, like, I posted it on like Tuesday and I was like, I'll keep this open until Friday. And like, you know, someone gave me $100 yesterday. Like, cool, thank you. And someone had given me like, there's been like a little trickle like every day still.
Y'all should stop giving us money though, because we're going to need to actually buy the stuff.
Yeah, seriously. I just got to, seriously, if you're listening to this and you're like, I want to participate. That's lovely. Participate
in
the next thing.
Yeah.
There'll be
something else.
We'll do more things. Like these little micro like side quests are neat. Really cool for our community. Really cool for us, I think. So we'll do more. But we've raised over $1,600.
That's awesome.
I know. And like, I had figured that if I could like raise $700, then I could put together a pretty bare bones, but like something to start with, you know, which is infinitely better than what they have now, which is nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. But like all of a sudden, like we'll be able to like, just kind of like the bones of what I'm going to get aren't going to be substantially different. I might be able, I'll get a pair of speakers as well as a pair of headphones for them, you know? And but like the computer, like we can make it a much better version of it. It'll still be the same basic computer, but like it'll have a better hard drive and more RAM, and it'll have the faster processors, all things that'll just make the experience of making music in the computer less frictive.
Right.
And more enjoyable, you know, which will be great.
Cool.
Because, you know, when your tools give you friction, obviously it's a barrier to learning.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will be a little less of that and a little more enjoyable and just intuitive. And
awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And my thought is that I'll just order all the stuff to here, you know, get the system set up here, and just, you know, check it out, make sure everything's cool, set things up the way I would like it to be set up.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, put it in the car. We'll take it down. Then we'll take a little field trip down to Salem and go set it up and spend an afternoon maybe educating them.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Very
That'll be
cool.
fun.
I know.
Very fun. Back in the car. Woo.
shit.
What did we do? That's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody who participated in that. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. That's neat.
And it'll be fun to see
what
happens with what these folks create.
Yeah.
It'll be really neat.
Yeah. It'll be really, really neat.
Yeah. So should we take a little break?
Yeah.
And then when we come back from the break...
Talk about that idea of who belongs here.
Who belongs
here? Who belongs? It's a good question.
Yeah.
And what is here?
That's also a good question.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you in a sec.
See you soon.
Because something I try to do, my little game, is I try, like we record this in real time, obviously, you know, and I just try when we go to the break to imagine what the break music will sound like and how long it will last and to do my, and we're back, exactly in the right time.
Uh-huh.
It's like my little game. And Shannon's like, you're an idiot. Which is fair. I'm not arguing that
I
point.
I didn't say you're an idiot.
You don't have to say you're an idiot, Shannon.
I might say you're
with the mouth part of your face.
You're a nerd.
Because the whole rest of your face is saying it.
I might say you're a nerd or something like that. I don't know.
Everyone knows that to be true.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You know, we were originally thinking that we were going to, since this is our first podcast back from being on the road and in the spirit of transitioning and kind of taking it easy, that we were going to maybe keep this a little bit of a shorter pod today. But
screwed that up.
Last night, I had this brainstorm of an idea that I wanted to talk about here because there were just a few different things that came up, sort of popped up in my consciousness via reading I was doing and experiences that we had out in the world that seemed to sort of thread together in an interesting way and on a topic that seems worth talking about. And it sort of like revolves around this question, this bigger question of who belongs here. And I have to, I'll set it up with the first sort of thing that sort of brought this idea to my mind a couple of nights ago. Much earlier this year, in the springtime,
yeah.
I started reading Michelle Obama's memoir. And I really wanted to finish reading it before we saw her in person at the Tacoma Dome.
You got partway through?
I got like halfway through before we saw her, which was great.
Pretty good.
And I continued reading after
seeing
that
her was great.
Seeing her
getting partway through the book was pretty good.
Oh,
to be super clear about what I meant there.
Right, yeah. Right. Fair, yes. So, yeah, seeing her was great. I was in tears. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Tears of joy and also tears of laughter. Like, she's funny, she's salty, it's great.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And the book is so, someone was asking me the other night, what book did you just finish reading? Because I had posted about it on Facebook and I'm like, I just finished finally reading the Michelle Obama memoir. And you know, it's such a great book. It's not only is her own personal story interesting all on its own, but mm-hmm. she writes in such a way that like, it's kind of like part memoir, part like sort of exhortation for, you know, self-actualization and identity forming and go change the worldness, you know, like it's she writes in a really authentic and vulnerable kind of way about her experience. It's not just telling a story. It's like, it's sharing who she really is, you know, it's a great book, but I didn't finish it before we left for tour and I brought the book with me on tour. optimistically, thinking that maybe I would finish. I know I never read when we're on tour. It's just impossible.
It's good energy to put in the world.
But I brought the book with the idea that maybe I would, and I didn't. But I finally finished the book two nights ago.
But you probably got slightly more of a workout carrying that book in your suitcase in and out of every single place for 102 days. Yes. So that's good.
Yeah. So anyway, I finished the book, but in part of the book, she talks about, she highlights this one school of girls that she became involved with. It's a school in the UK, actually, that she became involved with after one of her early trips to the UK, and then remained involved with this girls' school in the years to come. And it's a school for there's a lot of immigrant girls who attend this school, girls from various marginalized populations in the UK, people who come from poverty, but it was this institution educating girls, and she went there many times over the course of the Obama administration to just encourage them and be a resource for them. Mm-hmm. And it, toward the end of the book, she talked about a trip that they took. They brought these girls from this school, the high school students, to Oxford University in England, and here they are in these, rarefied halls of Oxford University, like this prestigious institution. And there were some girls who went on this trip from the school who, get good grades and, are high achiever types, and then some that aren't, high performers. But they all went on this trip, and she was emphasizing the notion that on this trip, she wanted these girls to stand in these halls of Oxford University and to let them know that you belong here. Mm. That this is not an institution that's reserved for native British people who are white and wealthy and well-connected, mm-hmm. But that you, girls coming from immigrant populations, from poverty, people of color, you belong here just as much as, mm-hmm. The others that you see here.
Powerful message.
And so she was kind of emphasizing this idea that in her life she wants to be about encouraging people that they belong in the spaces where they exist, And so that was sort of like the seed of an idea that I was carrying with me from having read the book. And then yesterday we went to pick up our packages from our UPS store. From our having been gone from our trip, right?
Yeah.
And the woman who runs our UPS store is this lovely woman.
Oh, she's the best. Hi, Min.
And we've just become friends with her since living here and opening our UPS box at the store.
Yeah.
It's a joy to see her every time we walk in. And so we went and we saw her. It was the first time we'd seen her since being home from tour. And we asked her at some point while we were standing and getting our packages signed for. So, how's your day going? What's been going on with you today?
And we always ask, It's not an unusual thing. We always ask people, how are you? How's your day?
Yeah. And I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting her to maybe reflect on how busy it had been in the store.
Or the beautiful sunshine.
The sunshine. Yeah, exactly. What she came back with was, well, I went to Seattle earlier today for a citizenship ceremony where I became a citizen of the United States. I'm like, holy cow, that's a massive moment.
Yeah.
She's
clearly was not born here, speaks with an accent, Also small business owner, works with her mom, her mom, she employs her mom and a bunch of other people.
She owns this franchise of the UPS store. Yeah.
And she's just rad. Mm-hmm. Just a cool human.
Totally cool human. And, we obviously looked astounded. We're like, oh my gosh, congratulations. I'm so excited.
On such a momentous day, and here she is at work. It almost seemed like there should be
more
importance around it. You know what I mean? She should be wearing a special dress or something.
I know. There should be balloons and cake. Right? We should bring her balloons and cake.
Yeah.
Let's do that later today.
Okay, great.
So, but then she was saying how, and she had people, there were people piling up in line behind us. And so, we couldn't have a long interaction about it. But she... And we asked her, how do you feel about it? And she said, well, it's been 14 years. She's been trying to get her citizenship for 14 years.
She's been working on the process for 14 years.
And it finally happened today. She said, I have to not think about it too much because if I start to think about it, I start to cry.
Yeah.
And as we left the store, I thought to myself, well, I said something to her. I can't remember what we said in the moment in trying to congratulate her.
Mm-hmm. I remember what I said.
What did you say?
What I said to her was that our country is the better for having you here.
Yeah, which is great. And I think I found myself just feeling like, okay, is it my job to like welcome her here? But she's already here. She's been making a life here for
probably as long as you and I have been adults.
Exactly. Yeah. And working on her citizenship for 14 years, like she has every bit of belonging, she's every bit as much belonging mm-hmm. to this place as I do.
Sure.
And I was born here.
Sure.
And I felt like it sort of expanded my idea a little bit about the idea of belonging, mm-hmm. you know, like in terms of, you know, we tend to divide each other into these categories. And like, honestly, like having been born here or not born here, making a life here in this place, you know, there shouldn't be such a distinction drawn between humans.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, it's funny, right? Because like the whole 14 year she's been working on this for 14 years thing. That sounds very legitimate. You know what I mean? 14 years is a very long amount of time. But then it really kind of begs the question, well, where's the line? Where does it become illegitimate? Does it ever? Like, I've been working on this for 14 years, 13, 12, 2,
like, is
1.
It, you mean if it's not worth as much?
Like, on what side? Where is the number of years at which, on one side of it, like, yes, cool, you have put in, you've paid your dues and you get to be here. On the other side of it, you have not paid your dues.
But what's this about paying dues?
Right? But that's it. That's the implication, right?
Right.
And that's weird.
Yes.
Like, that shouldn't be a thing.
Yes, like I want us to be a society that says, okay, you arrived in this country yesterday and you're committing yourself to living here and making a life for yourself in this place. Welcome. You belong here.
Yeah.
Like
what can we do to help?
One day, one out. You know what I mean? Like this idea of having to like prove yourself over, you know, years and years, it seems punitive and unnecessary. And gosh, I imagine she feels this huge sense of relief.
Sure.
That process, that burden is, you know, is behind her.
And also probably up until 2 days ago, there was probably always some small thing at the back of her consciousness that her position here was tenuous in some way.
And that, yeah.
Imagine that.
Imagine that informing your sense of belonging in the world or belonging in the place where you live.
Yeah.
You know?
You're just trying to like wake up and do your stuff and like make a life.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was an interesting just encounter with the idea of belonging, you know, and something that I want to mull over more as we think about, you know, what makes our country a rich, vibrant place, you know, in terms of like people come here from all over the world to make their lives here, and we're better for that. And all of us belong here, whether we were born here or came here by other means. Like, you know, I have more absorbing of that idea to do, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the whole time-based thing, like if you zoom that out even more, right? So many nativist arguments in our country, first of all, aren't made by the actual natives who are Native Americans, right? They're always made by like white people who are not the natives here.
Descendants of immigrants.
Yeah. Yeah. And their idea is, well, you know, I was born here, you know, I'm from here. Our people are from here. This is our land, you know? But if you go back even into very, very recent history, human beings have been on this, you know, as we know them, right? Our species of human has been on this planet for, what, 80,000 or so years, something like that, 100,000 mm-hmm. years. White people have only occupied this chunk of land for like 500 of those years, right?
Yeah.
It's like a fraction of a percent. It's like 0.2% of that time. 0.1, I'm not trying to actually do the math in my head. I'm just saying it's basically so small as to be a rounding error.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just the hubris.
Yeah. To claim ownership over it.
Yeah. It's wild to me, right? And like, if you can't even go back 500 years and have a legitimate claim, it really kind of gives the lie to the idea that that's not what makes anything legitimate or illegitimate, right?
Right.
It's like how we treat each other.
It is.
That's the point.
Yeah. This is a really good segue into the third experience of this week that fit into this question of belonging.
Yeah.
For me, you and I are going to be attending a city council meeting tonight, mm-hmm. where the city council is, you've read all about the ordinance. Can you just summarize?
Yeah, I actually can. And so the city is considering adopting an ordinance which would amend a certain chapter of the Tacoma Municipal Code relating to the park code. To address emerging public safety issues impacting the quality of life in Tacoma's parks. And specifically, mm-hmm. What they're doing, and there's different aspects to this. I mean, there's some just random stuff like no vaping and no drones, and okay, fine. But it's like an omnibus thing where it all gets wrapped up into one, you know?
Right.
But the part that has everyone kind of a little bit worked up right now is it's the part about... I'm looking for it here because I have it right here. It authorizes the park district to adopt a code of conduct that regulates activities. That's the wrong one. I'm sorry. It's, let me see. Oh, yeah. Limits permissible structures in parks to only those specifically authorized or that are temporary and have only a roof and no walls. And what they're talking about here is unhoused people who are living in our parks in tents.
Right.
And, you know, so to zoom this back out a little bit, like, there's legitimate concern there, right? Like, there's a huge wave of homelessness in Tacoma, as in most big cities in the U.S. right now, most mm-hmm. well-to-do cities or cities proximal to well-to-do cities like Seattle. Because mm-hmm. that's kind of how this happens, right? Like, Seattle gets unaffordable, the marginalized people at the bottom, like, lose their housing. Mm-hmm. And then they come down to somewhere like Tacoma because, like, it's maybe more affordable and they lose their footing here and then they're here. Maybe go to Olympia, but, mm-hmm. like, you know, that's how that works.
And every story is different, but generally yeah. speaking, we are seeing a massive... You know, the West Coast is inundated. Mm-hmm. All the major cities on the West Coast are inundated with a problem of a whole lot of people being unhoused. Because
yeah, there's a massive amount of income inequality in the big cities on the West Coast, A, and B, the weather won't kill you in the winter, right?
Right.
And so, like, it's this perfect storm, and, like, there's all these unhoused people. And, you know, there are legitimate public safety and public health concerns with people, like, living in tent cities and parks and stuff. Like, there's mm-hmm. public, there's nowhere for them to, like, deal with their waste. So there's waste, mm-hmm. there's sewage, like, mm-hmm. in the park. Like, that's bad. There's poop in the park. That's not good. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a percentage. It's not a high percentage, but it's a percentage of these people who are drug users, some of them intravenous, right? And mm-hmm. so there's hypodermic needles, mm-hmm. which are a tremendous danger. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then also there's mental wellness stuff too, like the Venn diagram of people who are unhoused and people who have mental wellness issues, like there's some overlap there, mm-hmm. right?
And the mental health stuff overlaps with the drug use as well.
All of it. But, like, just, you know, taking the mental wellness stuff specifically, like, mm-hmm. there can definitely be people who are unhinged, who present as quote-unquote crazy, who are threatening, mm-hmm. who are just, like, scary to be around because they're not acting in a rational way, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, all these things are true. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's concerned neighbors and there's people who just, like, I just want to take my daughter to the park. And, you know, there's all these people living in tents here acting crazy and pooping. And, you know, and right. and they're not wrong.
Right.
Right? Like, all of those things are true. Mm-hmm. But, like, this measure that the city's considering adopting here, basically, like, so first of all, just to look at what the measure actually says, it's like, you know, so approved structures with no walls. So they're like, okay, roll up the sides on your tent. And the rationale here is that, like, we don't think that they're doing illegal stuff in their tents, but we don't know. And so we need to be able to see in.
Right.
Which is wild to me.
What do you mean?
It's wild to me because, like, these are these people's homes, right. such as they are.
Right.
And they should have a reasonable expectation of privacy in there.
Well, and also it's really disingenuous to be like, oh, sure, you can sleep here under a tarp as long as it doesn't have walls. What good does that do somebody when it starts snowing? Or when
it was 35 degrees out last night.
Yeah, like, that's... It's just, it's a disingenuous, like, oh yeah, you're fine as long as there's no walls. Of course, they're just going to move somewhere else yeah. because they need to have shelter.
The point of a tent is the walls.
That's the walls.
That's why you have a tent.
Yeah.
You know, so really it's just a way to shuffle them off somewhere else, right? And to get them out of the parks.
Which is the issue. Like,
yeah.
I like what you said about this last night when you when we were talking about this. You're like, we can't ordinance our way out of the unhoused people population problem,
so
right?
True.
So if we tell them they can't stay in the parks with their tents, well, okay, they're going to go somewhere else. With their tents, where is that somewhere else?
So maybe it's going to be like alleys behind businesses. So then what, do we do another ordinance saying, well, you can't have tents in alleys behind businesses? And now that's illegal. And so then they move from there and then they go stay in who knows where, right? I mean, like, you can't just keep pushing these people. Like, they're like, doing an ordinance isn't going to make them go away.
Right.
It's just going to make them move somewhere.
Right.
And it's not going to do anything to address the problem.
Right.
And indeed, like where would we rather have these people? You know, like if you push them out of the parks, where are they going to, like, would you, is the next place they're going to go to going to be better for you?
Right.
Ordinance writer. You know what I mean?
Right.
If they end up in the alley behind, like sleeping, like behind your garage, is that going to be better for you than them mm-hmm. sleeping in the park? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know where this goes.
Right. I mean, I think that what we would like to encourage our city council to do is to, before they make an ordinance that removes people from the parks, is to identify places where it is sanctioned for them to go.
Yeah.
So that they can set up their tents in a place where the city's like, here's the place where you can set up your tents,
yeah,
you know, and establish a place for them to do that. And also opening more shelters so that if people who don't want to be out, you know, in a tent can be under a roof on a bed, you know, and things like that. Like, we need to be doing more work on the actual problem yeah. before just scooting people around, you know. And we could spend more time talking about this issue if you want to, but I wanted to bring it back to this idea of who belongs here,
yeah.
right? That central question that we were sort of threading threaded through these ideas for me over the last couple of days. Like when you zoomed out a minute ago mm-hmm. about like how it's really been only in the last few hundred years that people who look like you and me have lived on this continent, yeah. on planet Earth. But yeah. for the, you know, millennia before that, the hundreds of millennia before that, mm-hmm. you know, our species that inhabited this place, you know, looked a lot different than, mm-hmm. you know, and yet there is a certain part of the population of white America who claims that America belongs to white Americans who were uh-huh. born here, right? But the zooming out is helpful, I think, because like let's zoom out a little bit in terms of like history and like deep history regarding people sleeping in tents in a park, you know, like all these structures that we exist in right now that say this is our house, we've purchased it, this is our property, mm-hmm. and that park over there is the city's property, and it's been all divided up, and there's ownership and the structures that we humans have created here in our government system are deciding who belongs in what on what property and who doesn't belong, you know.
And if you don't have the means to acquire property, do you then belong anywhere?
Exactly. And if you zoom way out to just the human species living on planet Earth, we all freaking belong here.
Yeah.
Like, erase property lines, erase home ownership and park city property. Mm-hmm. Like, erase all of the systems that we've invented to organize ourselves. And I'm not saying that they're all bad, mm-hmm. but like, let's just erase all of that for this thought experiment mm-hmm. and evaluate me walking through the park and the guy sleeping in the tent in the park. We both equally belong
yeah.
here on this planet, on this plot of land, like that we all belong here. And the systems that we've created to organize ourselves, it's important to take that view because that can be that's the basis of sort of the morality from which we can evaluate how just or unjust our current systems are mm-hmm. and how we are treating our fellow human beings, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we lift up the ideas of, you know, property rights and boundaries and borders and all these kinds of things. These are all artificial things that the human race has invented.
Yeah.
In large part to protect property and power of the people who have property mm-hmm. or wealth, you know? And I think it's important to take a step back and see that those artificial structures that we've created don't serve us
yeah.
in a just way all the time.
Not all the time, yeah.
And
like, I'm all for people having houses. You know what I mean? I think I am. Like, it's the way we do things right now. And like, you know, it's good to have a place that you can confidently say, like, here's the place that I live. But like, I enjoy
our house in that way.
Yep,
I mean, like,
same,
I get that.
Same, absolutely. But to have our city has something like 4 golf courses within its very small city limits. You know what I mean? Which, like, we drive, there's one, like, 2 blocks from our house, and we drive by it all of the time. Like, it's on the way that we would take to get to the freeway, you know? And it's just this bountiful parkland that only ever has 1 or 2 or 3 people on it. But, I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres,
right?
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To have that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres that, like, you can't just, like, go walk around, even, like, you have to pay fees to go hit a little ball around it, you know?
Right.
While we have people who are just trying to camp in a frickin' park and are about to be told that you can't do that. It just strikes me as profoundly immoral.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if we don't want the people in the parks, okay, fine. They're gonna exist though.
Right.
And they need a place to be. So let's find a place for them to be. Like, we need to do a much better job at having like permitted tent encampment locations, right? Unstructured but legal camping in places other than parks.
Right. But because I think that the big question here is, like, you can't just ordinance people out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
the people living in the tents in our city are every bit as human as I am. They belong in the city every bit as much as I do.
Yeah.
And like, starting from that place, that's the place we need to start from in terms of formulating our ideas about how we create policy around this stuff.
Yeah.
Is that we all belong here.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And I don't think that I have, like, there's not a bow to wrap up on this conversation. It's
no.
just something that's like, that's been stirring in me, the idea of belonging, and I'm sort of eager to continue to go out into the world and find ways in which I've made assumptions about who belongs and who doesn't, and sort of allow those things to be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an ongoing challenge for us.
Yeah, I think that's right.
For me. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll see what city council does tonight, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. And, you know, when people are given a sense of belonging or offered a sense of belonging or have a feeling of belonging in a place, that's when people believe that they can contribute.
Yeah.
Also,
and,
you know?
And that they can make changes and that they have something to strive for, you know?
I know we're all better for that.
Yeah, seriously. I know that my experience, you know, when I've shared on this podcast before that I've experienced homelessness briefly in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what helped me out of that and out of the circumstances that led to it was being wrapped up in a loving embrace by a group of people who were like, hey, we can help. We want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And you are like us, and we are like you,
mm-hmm.
and we know where you've been,
mm-hmm.
and we can help each other out of this.
Yeah,
you know, and that was profoundly meaningful in my life, and I
yeah.
think that maybe if we approach these people in that same way,
yeah,
we might be a lot better off.
Approach each other in that same way.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's go get some cake and balloons for our UPS store
that
owner.
That sounds nice.
Let's do it.
All right, cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
You all, thank you for listening today.
Very much.
Thank you for letting us sort of hash out this idea that popped up into my brain late last night. And,
yeah.
you know, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this topic of who belongs here.
That's the listeners.
if you are...
Shannon's looking at me, but she's talking to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Listeners, I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
I'm like, you just did hear my thoughts.
Yeah, no.
Like, no way. She's talking to the microphone.
People listening, you know, and if you are part of our Misfit Stars group, if you are one of our supporting members, I'd love it if you would post your thoughts in our group.
Yeah, that would be cool. Please do that.
We can start a thread about it too, to initiate the conversation in a couple days once the podcast is released. If you're not yet a supporting member, you could totally become one and become part of that group and join us. You go to misfitstars.com/join and you join up.
It's easy and quick.
There are a few different levels of support you can choose, but the most basic one is $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets you access to all of the members exclusive episodes that we have available from the beginning of this podcast until now.
We're going to start ramping those back up now that we're off tour, I'd imagine.
Yep, we sure will. So you'll get access to all of that. You also will be invited to join our private Facebook group for just our Misfit Stars supporters.
Which is a neat place.
It's a neat place. And you just get bragging rights that you're a star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, if you do the $20 a month one, and I understand that's a lot and that's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you do it, you get a t-shirt.
Which is a really hot t-shirt.
And I just want to throw that out there. Like, when you go to misfitstars.com/join...
Sorry, now I'm making noise on my microphone.
I love it.
Sorry.
The microphones are like these little like headset mics. And so like if you're trying to like wipe your nose or scratch your chin or something, the odds are good you'll just go
bonk.
Bonk.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you were saying t-shirts.
What was I saying? T-shirts, yeah. It's not for everyone. $20 a month is a big commitment. But if you have $20 a month that you would like us to have, we will send you a super hot Misfit Stars t-shirt.
It's a really
you can get
shirt.
It in black or galactic blue.
Galactic blue.
I just made that up. That's cool, right? It's like
I
a
think
midnight
it was
navy.
Midnight blue.
Yeah, it's midnight navy. But
I
I'm
like galactic blue though. That's really good.
I'm the salesperson in the partnership here. Shannon's like, no, it's called midnight navy. I'm like, check this out.
Good job, Jake.
Thank you.
We would love it if you would join us and become a supporting member.
Yeah.
If you're not in a position to become a supporting member and you're just here listening, thank you. It means a lot to us that you're here doing that you've given us your time today and your ears.
And I do want to underscore that like most people who listen don't become supporting members. That's cool. Listen, we love having you here. Thank you.
Yes.
But if you ever find yourself at like a point where you're like, wait a minute, I've been listening to this for a long time. I really do think it has value. And yes, I want to support it. Well, this is your opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Thank you. Until next week.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back again next week with more stuff.
I don't know what the hell we're going to have to talk about because my goal is to do nothing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
We will see y'all next week. Until then, take good care of yourselves and each other. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.